Speak to you this morning on the gift of God. The gift of God is light. That which came into the world to change the world forever. It will never be the same. I've got two scriptures. Take a look with me in Genesis chapter 1, the first three verses. And then we'll go to John chapter 1, the first five verses. In the beginning, whenever that was, it was God that created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be lights." And because He said it, there was light. It came to the world. Then you come with me to John, chapter 1, and the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He's a personality. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Heavenly Father, we worship and magnify Your glorious name this morning. We thank You for the inestimable gift of Jesus Christ, for what He brought with Him. Jesus is the light of the world. And He lighteneth the soul, the life of every man that cometh into the world. We worship You and magnify Your name. And Lord, this morning we want to say, You're the gift of God to us, the greatest Christmas present we've ever received. We bless You and magnify Your name. When You came, You brought eternal life with You. You brought the mercy and the love and the justice and the things of God with You. We thank You, Lord, and then You brought them into our lives. Because You came in, the light that lighteneth the soul of every man that cometh into the world. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you this morning, if you could ask God for anything this morning, what would it be? I suppose it depends on how old you are. Youngsters would ask for one thing. Others would ask for many things. But what would you cherish? What would you think would be the most important of all? There are three major events in the world. And not one of them is being carried by the history of the world. It is being shelved. It's being put on the back burner. It's not that important in the eyes of the world. These three things are the creation, with man as the prime creation of God. The second is the fall of that man and the realization of universal sin and its nature. And the third is the redemption of man. And that includes the final reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. The present world system opposes all three. Says that they're not necessary. That they're outdated. It argues that man evolved, thus making creation an unnecessary fiction. God didn't make us. We just grew like Topsy. We just growed up. God wasn't involved. And the first thing that the world does is removes God from His world. Takes Him out of touch with His world and says, "You've got no right here," when all the time we're squatters on God's territory. We have no right upon one square inch of this world, except God gives us the right. And the kingdom that is coming, God gives the right and He alone gives entry or says any forbidden. It is God. It is His world. It is the things that He has created. Secondly, the world argues that evolution logically results in the thought that man is not fallen at all, but rather is moving steadily toward perfection without any real effort on his part. We just need be what we are, and ultimately we'll be right, and there'll be nothing wrong, and our world will be a wonderful place. We'll just evolve there. That's the second thought that they have about what God has got to say. And that, in a sense, thirdly, makes man his own redeemer.
We save ourselves. God has got nothing to do with it. I can bypass the cross. I don't have to go that way at all. Repentance is not a necessity in my life. God is not necessary. But I say to you this morning, what of God? What of sin in the world? Our technology can be murderous, and can be denied that there are those that are willing to use it, that there is the desire to overcome and to conquer. What of greed? What of immorality? Are these part of that perfection we're talking about? Is this the development that God wants? Listen to your news. Listen to the radio. Listen to the television. And tell me, is this the perfection that man is heading for? There is very little difference. Down the ages, one thing is predominant. Man keeps failing. Man keeps falling short. Man can't stand the highest standards. Are these all part of that perfection? The Bible teaches that there is something radically wrong with the world. And the internet just tells us how widespread it is as it feeds the desires of men. And this is the real reality. This is what we're facing. The world itself is neither good nor bad. Man is the problem. He is the reason why things go wrong in this world. God made it perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. The truth is that it is not so rosy a picture as men present. In fact, the world is in dire trouble. And the question arises, what can save the world? What can save mankind from himself? God says, I am necessary. I am needed. I'm needed in every life. There is no life that is complete except I play a part there. Except I can speak into the situation and give my wisdom and the benefit of what I know. Men cannot make it on their own. God knows it. He says it over and over and over again. Each one of us needs a God. Each one of us needs a living God, one who can point the way for us to go. Blessed be His holy name. God is needed. And intent is always revealed by priorities. And that is never more so than in the Bible. God has made this a priority. In fact, this is what the Bible is all about change, about renewal, about a new life, a new possibility, a second chance. This is what the Bible is, and which of us doesn't need it? How many of us have faced situations in our life that we wish we could excise, just take out and remove as if it never happened, because it brings a blush to the face. And we understand that we've come short, every one of us do. Not one of us is perfect. We know it. Perfection for man on his own terms is a myth. The Bible tells us that change and renewal is needed. In creation, the very first thing, the priority that God did was to bring order out of chaos, light out of darkness. These were the things that He was involved with. God separated what was functional from what was useless, what was wrong from what was right. He cut a path right through disorder. Darkness covers disorganization. It covers these things. And God says it's got to be removed so that people may see the light. And seeing the light is understanding the situation as it really is. He made a declaration of intent and purpose, and then He acted on it. And God gave an answer. And what was the answer that God gave? I want to tell you this morning. The only enemy that darkness has got is light. In the absence of light, it reigns supreme. It rules. And people walk in darkness and they don't know that the light is there. And they don't understand the difference between right and wrong. And there is a standard in the world today that is akin to madness, in my opinion. People come to conclusions and have ideas and have values that are so way out that you can't understand it and you can't comprehend it. People do and say the most amazing thing. Light is the only enemy the dark has. Only light can challenge the dark for supremacy. Only right can conquer it, can conquer the wrong. Only God can conquer Satan, beloved. Not the wisdom of man bent on going in his own way. On our own, we are no match. Darkness will swallow the world in spite of the United Nations and in spite of everything that man says can be done. We don't find answers for the problems of our world. So, God gave light. And that was the perfect answer. In Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. It covers it. It is there. It is upon, covering like a blanket. And darkness reigns supreme in the presence, in the absence of light, as it always does. Then it is supreme. And people go that way. But light is always the nemesis of the dark. Darkness reigned only until the Word of God came. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. The instant light came, that same instant, the darkness could not reign. In fact, it could no longer exist. It went. There was the battle that ensued. Their battle was joined. Billy Graham, in one of his crusades, organized with the people, each person that came into the auditorium was issued with a match and something to strike it on. And they were told that at a certain time, they would be instructed to light their matches in unison. And just before the order was given, all the lights in the auditorium were doused, and pitch darkness reigned. And then the instruction came, light your match. And thousands upon thousands of people each lit a little match, and the light illuminated that stadium as if the lights were on. God is the light of the world, and every one of us is a particle of that light. And as we carry the light, so the light comes to the world. Jesus is a reality, but He needs to be declared. The ends of the earth need to know about Him, need to know what He brought with Him, what He's offering. The world needs to know that there are alternatives to what's happening in our world. It doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to have the kinds of things that we're having. There are other possibilities with God. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to labor for it. He wants us to know and act on it. The word said carries the meaning of challenge. And God challenged the darkness. And because He challenged it, it went. And when we challenge it, it goes. It's got to go out of the world. We've got to open our mouths and we've got to speak and let the world know. There is a natural light that owes its existence to natural causes. And the Bible tells me this, that it was only on the fourth day that the sun and the moon and the stars were placed in orbit. On the fourth day. But in the beginning, God said, let there be light. It was a different light. It was the light that came by the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. It is a spiritual thing. It is embodied in a person. It is real. It is wonderful. It is the truth. And that's what God wants the world to know, because the truth can save our world. Only the truth can do it. The lies will never save our world. The light God commanded came into the world through the Holy Spirit operating on the Word of God in the beginning. It was the Word that overcame. That light was the greatest gift of God's creation, so that we can walk in it all the days of our lives. In Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible says this, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That was a power display. Don't forget it. It was a power display. The Spirit was involved. And when the day of Pentecost came and God said the world's got to break upon, the light's got to break upon the world, it came by the Holy Spirit, and it will only come by the Holy Spirit. There is no other source for it. We must be empowered from on high. We must handle the power of God. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. What comes from me and what comes from you naturally will not change our world. But what God puts through us will change the world. It has the power to do so. And God wants us to know that. God wants us to act on it, to take it as from His hand. The battle between dark and light, right and wrong, has continued ever since. A vast divide, including man, there is a chasm. But on the other side, there is light. There is a choice that we can make. We can walk in the light or we can walk in the darkness. When we were born into this arena. The battle is with and about us. about the minds of men. The battles aren't fought on the front line of the battlefield. They fought here in the minds and the hearts of men. Their allegiance, their dedication, what they give themselves to, what they stand for, what they tell the world about themselves. These are the things that are important. We were born into it. The battle between dark and light, right and wrong, became our battlefield. We're all involved. We're either for or we're against. We have taken sides. We do it every day in the decisions that we make. We decide for or we decide against. We are either with or we are against. There is no neutrality in this war. We either win or we lose. And the world is either forfeit or it is won. We either promote or we oppose. And God moved on your behalf and mine when He sent His Son into the world. 2,000 years ago, in the beginning, right at that moment when the Spirit moved on the waters, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Amplified Version gives that last rendering. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or has not absorbed it, has not appropriated, is not receptive to it. The darkness has never overcome it. Not once. It's always been victorious. What God put in place has never failed. It remains the answer for the world and for mankind. It is the greatest cause, the greatest challenge that there is that can face your life. It is the greatest thing that you can do if you serve the Lord. To divide the purely temporal from the eternal. To be light bearers for God against darkness wherever we find it. And to know the difference. To tell the truth because we believe in the truth. Because we believe that it is the only truth with people walking in truth that can save the world. It's this. This is the answer. If I stand for it, if I do not give place and give ground to the darkness, but am myself enlightened with the light that lighteneth the soul of every man that cometh into the world, that darkness shall be banished from the world and the hearts of men forever. It will go because it has no right here. We have come to the time where there is, I believe, no more time to run. For where will we run to? We have to stand. There is no longer any place to hide because the truth is going to come out. There is tremendous pressure in the world today for people to bring out what they are and who they are. You can't hide away. It's becoming more and more apparent, this difference between the right and the wrong. It's being exposed. And I believe that that's the hand and the handiwork of God. There is only one thing that is logical in my mind, and that is that we must go God's way. In Joel 3:14, the Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You and I are making decisions that affect eternity every moment of the day of our lives. And the world is deciding about light and darkness right now. The dividing lines are made clearly drawn as mankind decides where they stand. And only God's light can banish the darkness and drive it out of the hearts of men through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. This, I believe, is God's greatest gift to mankind. And He has placed it in the hands of those willing to use it and to walk in the light of it. The Apostle Paul, advising you and me in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, said this: we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold,
Now is the day of salvation. And Micah 6 and 8 says this, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth he require of thee, but that thou do justly, and have mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. He hath showed thee. God doesn't leave us in the dark about our priorities. Your priorities are in your hands. You make the decisions. God influences. God speaks. But you make the decisions. You decide where you will stand, and you can't hide it any longer. We are not heading for perfection as men through evolution from what we are to what we must be. That's not happening. The only perfection that there is, beloved, is through the blood of Jesus Christ into the kingdom that He is about to establish. That's it. That's where perfection lies. We're either moving to the kingdom or we're not. We're either in line or we're not. Our lives are that which God wants to preserve in His kingdom. And His kingdom is holiness unto the Lord. And the lives that God wants to preserve are the ones that are in line with that concept. Nothing else. The standards of the world will be left out forever. They will not come into His kingdom. They've got no right there. God is a holy God. Our God is a consuming fire. He doesn't allow sin. He burns it up. He destroys it. Take a look at the life of Jesus. Watch what He was. He came into the world so that God may know what the standard is. So that we may know what God is like. Jesus declared God unto the world. It's that Jesus that's coming back. Nothing has changed. Just as He was, so will He be. What He was against, He's still against. What He is for or was for, He still is for. It's exactly the same. Nothing has changed. If we want to walk with Him, we must change. Not Him. We must. We must come in line with the standards that He's given us in this book. And He says, in that day, I will not judge you. The word that I've given you will judge you. You've got it in your pocket. You've got it on the shelf. It's speaking. Whether you read it or not, it's speaking about you. It's handling your situation. It's telling the world. And that's how God is going to do it. So this morning, I'm sorry that I haven't really preached a Christmas service to you. Normally, I preach Christmas services. And I enjoy doing so. But this morning I haven't preached you one like that. I've preached God's gift to you. That's God's gift. The real gift of God. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the lovely name of Jesus and we worship You. And we magnify Your lovely name. We exalt You because You're our God, beside whom there is none other. And Lord, we worship You and adore You. And we give You glory and majesty and praise. And Lord, bless our fellowship in the years to come, I pray. Bless this group of people. Meet their needs, O God. And glorify Your name in every life. We love them in the Lord. And Heavenly Father, I ask that You will just work Your works in them, because those are precious. In Christ's name, amen.
Community Church is a Pentecostal church that believes the gospel is the most important message for this and any other generation. I was therefore surprised to read a poster put out by the Mail and Guardian newspaper that the day of the Christian church is numbered. I do not believe that there is any power that can annul what Christ alone could do, and that this message of redemption must be declared to the ends of the earth. To this end, we are producing these tapes for distribution free of charge. If this one has been a blessing to you, please assist us by passing it on. We thank you for your cooperation. God bless you. If you have listened to this tape and it has made an impact upon your life and you realize your need, may I pray for you that Jesus Christ might enter your life and bring about the changes that are necessary. In Jesus' name, pray that God will move by His Spirit upon your life, that your whole future shall be colored by the fact that Jesus is alive and that He's alive and triumphant in your life. May God bless you and use you for His glory. For we need every mouth, we need every effort to bring the message across to to those that stand in desperate need. God bless you. Amen.
Foundation for Living Community Church meets at the South African Frere Federasie Hall, Jack Hinden Street, Pretoria North. It is pastored by Neil Dreyer, an apostle of God, who can be contacted on 012-808-1650. Meetings are every Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at the SAVF Hall. Should you be led by the Lord to sow into this ministry, banking account details are as follows. Account name, N.J. Dreyer, Bank, First National Bank, Branch, Silverton. Account number, 510-3011-9874. Branch code, 2508-4500. You are free to copy these tapes without restriction and to distribute them as widely as you feel led. Please remember only that each of us is called to account on the Day of Judgment for what we do with the Word of God. Should you require additional copies of this tape, please contact me, James Robertson, on Johannesburg, that's 011-791-2327, or cell phone 083-251-6644, or fax 011-791-5004, or email jamesr@infodoor.co.za. That is JAMESR@INFODOOR.CO.ZA, and we make arrangements to get copies of this tape to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen.